Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another week, a little late, but better late than ever, of the best little Horde House in Azeroth, a show we call Horde House for short. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'll be joining over the next hour, hour and a half, or 2 hours, or maybe 30 minutes, I don't know, with the one and only Extifer.
Hola.
How are you doing, Extifer?
I'm doing okay. It's Sunday.
I know, it's a lazy Sunday, and I'm not talking about the type that the Lonely Island raps about or whatever. So yeah, it's weird. We're not taping on a normal night Thursday because I got busy, honestly. And then we were gonna tape the next day, but the next for was like, I'm kind of sick. So and we're just like both really busy. It's hard to get together to do a show sometimes because we're popular.
Yeah. Yep, and the world revolves around us, so you know.
Absolutely, but we're here to do a show for you guys, and it's got to hold you over until after E3, because sadly, I can tell you right now, there's not going to be a Horde House next week during E3 week, because I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to E3, but I'm going to LA. It's a long story. I'm doing special coverage for my other show, Orange Lounge Radio, from home, and then Thursday, I'm driving down to LA to pick up someone who was at E3 to go have fun on the weekend. Weird, right?
Does sound weird.
I'm just
yes.
hoping I get a little swag out of it. Well, I've been to like 5 or 6 E3s, so I'm a little sad I'm not going this year because of the whole new Nintendo console thing. But then I remember that the lines to see new Nintendo shit are always like 5.5 hours long. So I'm not exactly looking forward to all that. So I say the correspondents that are going down there can have a blast with that line.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyhow, let me introduce our guest tonight, filling in at the last minute, and I really, really appreciate it, of course. Say hello to the one and only Salacious Pop.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing all right.
Yeah, it's very easy to get you to fill in when you live here. So, hey, I'm doing a show. Yeah. Be a guest. Poke, poke, poke. So, how are you doing?
Doing all right.
Are you getting, I mean, I realize this isn't specifically Warcraft related because Blizzard never does E3, or at least they haven't. Oh, probably for about 3 years now, even though Activision does. But is there anything you're looking forward to at E3, hearing from the news?
I hope that Valve has an announcement about their next title that they're working on, since Portal 2's out, and that it has something to do with Half-Life. That's really it.
That'll probably be no on both counts.
Oh yeah, they're gonna break my heart once again.
I would think, not to get too much into the general gaming talk, but I would think if anything they're gonna announce more about the user end content for Portal 2 and the Dota game they're working on. This kind of ties back into Blizzard because, you know, Defense of the Ancients was a extremely popular mod for Warcraft 3, and it's really split in like 3 different directions. Blizzard has their official Dota, which is supposed to be coming for StarCraft 2 at some point. There's the League of Legends, which I think some of the Dota creators went to do. And then now there's the official, I guess, Dota 2 is Valve, because Valve, in their very Valve fashion, saw something cool on the internet and was like, let's hire him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I mean, that's where Portal came from, right? It was with the Nurbacular Drop game online, and Valve was like, this game's cool, let's hire him. And then you get one of the greatest franchises to come out of the past few years, the Portal franchise. Amazing. So imagine if Valve owned World of Warcraft for a minute, how things might be a little different. Just think about that for a minute. Anyway, instead of Activision. All right. Anyhow, let's get into, let's talk to our guest a little bit, because usually at the top of the show, we interview our guests. Now, refresh our memory for those that might be new to Horde House. What characters do you play in WoW, Salacious Pop?
I play a druid and a DK. And those are my two mains.
And any alts you've been having fun with recently?
Yeah, I'll probably get into that a little bit more in my How Was Your Week in Azeroth. But yeah, I've been having alt fever, which is strange because I don't usually care for alts.
Yeah, because you've been playing pretty consistently your druid only for the longest time, right?
Yeah, her hours logged is pretty disgusting. I don't want to talk about it. But yeah, I was just playing her for the longest time, and I finally decided to check out other classes.
And I would say that's almost kind of atypical, where a person really focuses just on one character. Although, I guess ironically, what we had X-Link on last week, who has spent like all the time on his rogue and has like 9,000 achievement points. But most of the other guests we bring on here are like, yeah, I love alts, I'm an altaholic and so forth. But you're very much not into all the alts. Why is that?
Well, I'm a bit of a completionist. My one main, my druid, she has all of the whack, weird rep, like Burning Crusade rep that are really grindy. She's got 112 mounts, and you can't really do that with more than one character, or else she'll go nuts. So because of the fact that she has so much stuff on her, mm-hmm. as far as rep and just obscure grindy things that I took the time to do, she's sort of where I've put most of my chips, as it were, as my main, as you know, my main character.
Are you trying to beat WoW?
No, there's a lot of achievements or a lot of mounts where I'm like, I'm never getting that. I don't care that badly, but you know, I've got the Nether Drakes and I've got the Talbot mounts and you know all that stuff.
What?
Yeah, don't beat WoW. Stick with beating Rob.
what?
So I kind of have the same outlook though on that though, because I spend a lot of, well, I mean, in the past at least, spend a lot of time on my main as well, and which happens to be a druid too. I just feel kind of like this lull if I was to, you know, focus any time, you know, on another character, it would just feel like too much. You know?
Let me ask this question. I'm actually going to ask both of you this. What is the game of Warcraft to you? And the reason why I ask that is that, you know, for some people, it's very much role-playing. You know, a lot of folks that play on the role-play servers, the game is that role-play environment. For some people, it's very much the PvP. For some, it's the social interaction. When you log into WoW, what is the game that you are looking forward to playing, if that makes sense? And Salacious Pop, I'll start with you.
I think the PvE experience, not so much RP, but being into the lore and just sort of chewing through all the stories and scenarios that have been set up for you. Without sounding too cheesy, when I log in as my druid, I'm pretty much trying to play the game through her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't RP, but it's really about the whole atmosphere that Blizzard has created in the game and just sort of going through that.
It's kind of what I would call the Final Fantasy approach. Like, it, with the exception of 11, Final Fantasy games aren't really multiplayer, so you don't really role play in those games, even though they are role playing games, but you're seeing this vast story unfold through your character's eyes. Would that be a fair comparison?
Yeah, and I like how immersive it is.
Yeah.
So that's really why I play.
So, Extifer, what's the game for you?
It's social. It has to do with the lore. You know, it's pretty much everything. I play, you know, to kill time. I play to have fun. You know, I play... I don't know, like, I play to see the story unfold a lot of the times. It's just a good time sink in all of those respects.
See, I guess for me, like, I don't get as into the lore. Like, I appreciate the immersive experience that Blizzard has made, and I appreciate the lore. But it's, that being said, I'm so ADD when it comes to games. And what I mean by that is that, you know, and if you listen to my other show for any length of time, Orange Lounge Radio, I never beat games because I'll be playing them for like an hour, and then it's like, ooh, shiny, another new game is out. And I think for Warcraft, it's just like, okay, yeah, text, quest text. What do I have to do? Get to the point. For me, it's kind of like half social, but I also like the fact that in WoW, there's kind of an ADD experience in itself where maybe I want to do raiding today. Or you know what? No, I want to go play this character today. Or it's PvP weekend in my favorite battleground. I'm going to go do that. So it's kind of like, because there's so much to do in WoW, mm-hmm. I don't get bored. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's a lot of variety that you can do in the game. I mean, whether it be collecting mounts, pets, you know, doing questing, grinding reputation, you know, going with friends to do a battleground or, you know, raid or whatever, dungeon. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is getting kind of deep conversation. This is a little too intellectual for Horde House. I'm a little worried. I need to change the topic. All right.
let's dumb it up a little bit.
Let's. thank you.
Derp.
Shut up. Salacious Pop. You're into the raiding game almost like more than Extifer is. You're in a pretty advanced guild. Your guild's number one on the server right now, or two at least?
We are one for 25-man strict progression, but we're actually in second place for overall.
Mm-hmm.
10 and 25 mixed progression.
That's still not bad. I have yet to even do the magma fight, so...
Our rival guild has gotten Conclave down in 10 because they just decided that it was easier to do with 10.
Conclave Heroic, of course.
Yeah, Conclave of Wind Heroic. So they have that kill, and because we're 25-man strict, we won't do a 10, even if logistically it's easier to do. So that's one of the fights we're working on right now, Conclave and Omnitron.
So what are the rest of us missing right now in these endgame encounters?
a lot of really fun fights, to be honest. I think with the exception of a few bosses that I absolutely despise, there's a lot of really fun, you know, Nefarian is back for those who did, you know, Blackwing Lair and vanilla, and Onyxia is back, and all these really cool things from vanilla that they've revamped, and just so many people cannot see it right now because of how hard it is to do raids.
It's interesting you say that, because we've had other people on the show come on and say heroics are bullshit. It's just ads, and it's just this insane level of difficulty, and I hate them, dying of fire. But you're like, yeah, they're fun.
Oh, well, the heroic, oh, the mechanics specifically for heroic raids versus regular. Yeah, I agree with that argument. A lot of the fights really are just, and there's more ads. That's sort of their standby.
So one other question for you, and then we'll get into like how was your week in Azeroth. But what fight? We were talking about how you kind of have your main, and that's where you've spent most of your time, and you play the game to see through her eyes. But now you've talked about you do have some other alts. You have a Death Knight now. What finally cracked you to say, you know what? It's time to go explore this through several characters' eyes. What finally cracked you to roll an alt?
Well, the main reason the DK was rolled was that I needed a gatherer alt for my raiding main, my druid, because she's now leatherworking in alchemy. So I needed a miner or a skinner that could just farm stuff for me to, you know, pump into her profession so that she could have money, because I think raiding does take a lot of money, or at least in-game gold. So the DK originally was just because he starts at level 55, so, and I can just go power up his mining and his herbing, and he'd just be a moneymaker.
So your DK was like nothing but like feeding stuff to your main. Like,
yes.
He was born for no other purpose. Did you ever see that movie, My Sister's Keeper? It was kind of the same premise, actually.
Wow.
I don't know. All right, forget it.
But I've
I was
since
playing one of those people.
Stop. Yeah. All right. Yes. Slash Pop.
I've since got him some crafted purples, and he's now raid viable, I think. So I did. He is a bit more than just a gatherer drone.
He's
now
blossomed into his own man.
Yes.
I see.
Cool.
That in Frost two-hand DK, I think, is a lot of fun. It reminds me of Rhett Paladin in Wrath before they completely changed everything about Rhett.
Oh, maybe I should go play a Frost DK then, because I really liked Rhett Paladin before they changed it. I just can't play it now. Like, I've tried to do it in raids and, you know, Agaloth and whatever, especially because we seem to have an abundance of healers right now in my guild. But I don't know. I can't get into it. And I feel like I'm not able to pull the same DPS I'm used to. I know QQ more, but because Rhett Paladins were kind of face roll before. But I don't know. Sometimes there's fun stuff about face roll. You know what I'm really enjoying in WoW right now? Not to skip ahead to our week or whatever, but I guess I am. I'm really enjoying lobby dungeons with guildies. We've been doing that a lot on the Drendon server, and I don't know, it's just kind of fun to just go through that content and blast chain dungeons back to back to back and kind of have fun with other guildies. But
well, now that they're not packed full of trash that you can, you know, pull and wipe the group with, they've really refined how much trash is in there.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually experience it for how it looks or how the map is, and just get to the end in a reasonable amount of time. Because before, Wailing Caverns was a lot of work because there was so much shit in there.
Except for some of those last few dungeons, like what BRD and stuff are still just shit shows. Like, there's just too much shit in there.
Yeah.
So anyhow, let's talk about our weeks in Azeroth and the stuff that we have been doing in the World of Warcraft this week. We'll start with you, Extifer.
Okay. This week, I've been leveling my rogue on the Blade's Edge server. I decided that because I'm not raiding, you know, I obviously have less of an incentive to play my main, even though I do prefer to play the druid and everything. You know, I did the troll dungeons. I would like the mount from ZA. But just something about it is just not as enticing as it could be. So I put most of my focus this last week playing on my rogue on the Alliance side of things, on your main server, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that I wanted to try something new. So I spec'd into Subtlety And I've learned as much as I can about subtlety in a PvE environment, which is, it's not ideal because subtlety is the lowest damage dealing spec of the three rogue specs. And I do not play PvP if I can help it. So I'm really, you know, it's not ideal, but I can tell you I'm having a blast playing subtlety. And, you know, I reach the point where I just don't care if I don't do as much damage. Because if the spec is fun, then why not? You know what I mean? I'm doing enough damage as opposed to, you know, the maximum amount that I could deal, you know, potentially with a different spec. So that's what I've been doing. And I'm at level 83. And I think I'm either halfway through level 83 or maybe I'm level 84. I don't even remember what level I am right now, but I am close to 85. So in just a few days of playing casually, you know, questing on my rogue.
Do you think part of it for you might just be, yay, I'm kind of seeing something different right now, because you have been so focused on your druid in the past. It might just be like, something different.
Yeah. You know, Salacious Pop said, you know, I also focus on a lot on my main character that sometimes I just kind of forget how other classes feel. And, you know, I did forget a lot about how the rogue class in particular, you know, feels. And whenever I go back to the rogue class, I always am pleasantly surprised at how fun it is. And in my opinion, it's fun, and I like trying new things, and this is definitely new. It's different. I've never done subtlety ever before. I've done combat and I've done assassination, and my favorite spec of the rogue is assassination by far, but I have to say that subtlety is a close second to it.
Have you yet to level up a character? Because your rogue was already, like, your rogue was the character you used back in vanilla, so I know your rogue was already at least 80. Have you leveled a character through the new Cataclysm content at all?
Yes.
You have that Alliance character you were talking about where you were mind controlling people off cliffs and stuff.
Yeah, I have a couple other characters that I've leveled through. Well, one of them I've leveled through most of the content, which is a mage. I think I'm like at level 42 on the mage, so I still have a few zones to go, but I don't plan on revisiting that character in a little while at least. And then the Worgen. Although I have to say that I didn't really get to experience a lot of the new zones on my Worgen because of the fact that we leveled primarily through PvP, and then whenever we were different levels, we would that made it impossible. I leveled this character with a friend. Mm-hmm. So whenever he had like full heirlooms and I didn't. So whenever we got to the point where he couldn't queue with me anymore, we would do dungeons. And so we didn't really go out to any zone and level through questing.
Gotcha.
So I didn't get to see that, but I feel right now the revamped content is not consistent with the pace of leveling. So, you know, you blink and you miss it. You know what I mean? And so I feel strongly that, you know, they put all this effort into creating these new zones, but you really don't have a lot of time to really enjoy them, you know, and unless you have no heirlooms and you don't level through dungeons and or PvP. You know, if you choose to just go strictly leveling, you know, but even that, you'll still get perks if you're a member of a guild, you know, and
right,
you might still out level a zone before, you know, I just feel like you kind of get short, you know.
See, I do kind of find that to be true in the old content. It's really ironic that a lot of people are sitting here going, God, it's too fast now. But I mean, for the old content, that's the case. But like, once you hit level 58 and you're in Outlands and then Northrend, it's like, shit, this can't go fast enough.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Now I need all those heirlooms. Now I need this to go a lot faster because, you know, having started the show guild on Drendon a couple months ago, having leveled a character through all that, like I was really enjoying my holy slash shadow priest through those first 58 levels, you know, just getting to re-experience all the old dungeons, whatever quests I could do in there. And, you know, it was a good pace because our guild was level one for the longest time because we had no 80s or 85s in it. So you don't get you gain a minuscule rate of XP. But then once I hit Outlands, it's like, shit, this can't go fast enough. Now, Luckily our guild has finally hit level two. Hooray. Because, we've had some 85s transfer in and, the whole new, guild challenges, you can still get the 300k XP bonus. Even if you do a lobby dungeon, as long as you're all level appropriate to be queuing for it together, you'll still get that bonus. So we've hit level two and now we get that 5% experience boost, which has been very helpful. Even Northrend, like, I don't know, there's, I find that like the later zones in Northrend, I kind of enjoy more than the earlier ones. And maybe that's just because like, okay, oh my God, how many times do I have to do Dragonblight on a character? And there's not really Wrathgate anymore. I mean, there is and there isn't.
I would be thrilled if I never see Zul'Drak ever again.
Right?
I will be in Zul'Drak for maybe half a level. And as soon as I hit 76, straight to Shulzar. I'm like, I cannot with Zul'Drak. I hate it.
Either. I don't like it.
But see, with Grizzly Hills, I'll do every single quest. I just, I love Grizzly Hills, but I'm just weird like that. I like it because it reminds me of Canada.
The only one that I like is Storm Peaks, and I can do the entire zone of Storm Peaks. Maybe Storm Peaks is like my Grizzly Hills, you know?
Maybe. Except, I don't think Storm Peaks reminds you of Canada.
No, it doesn't. Reminds me of Iceland.
Really, does Bjork live in Storm Peaks?
Yes.
All right. Anything else for your week in Azeroth?
Nope.
All right. Slices Pop.
Let's see. The guild that my main is on, we've got our third or fourth double dragons kill heroic, VNT, Valiona, and Thralian. So we've been doing that. We're currently 6 of 13 for this tier on heroic. Otherwise, I haven't really been doing, you know, just raiding on my main. On the Horde House Guild, I have a Warlock, and he is awesome, and I love playing Warlock a lot. Like, I think it's the funnest class I've played so far, even more than Boomkin, which is saying a lot.
I know, I'm like, as you say that, I'm like, do you worry that all the time you've invested in your main, now you're like, shit, maybe that really wasn't the class for me?
She really should be a Warlock. a little bit. What's kind of funny, though, is that I first tried to play WoW February or March of 2009, so maybe, you know, a couple of months into the Wrath cycle, I got the free trial account where it's completely pared down, where you can't talk or invite or do anything because, you know, it's a free account with a Forsaken Warlock, and I hated it. Completely hated it. So the fact that I'm trying to Warlock again as a Blood Elf and just all the changes they've done to the questing, I think it's, and because you start with the little imp at level one now, whereas before when I try to do a lock, you don't get a pet for a while.
But you didn't know anyone either. You were like playing by yourself.
Yeah, I kind of did it incognito because I didn't want people to say, oh, you should be on this server. Oh, you should be on that server. So I just did the trial on my own. No one knew about it.
No, admit it. You didn't want people to be all like, ew, you're playing WoW. You have problems.
No, because I knew like 10, well, I still know 10 people that, you know, play. I just didn't want to commit to paying for it for real, so I just did it as a secret and I didn't like it.
Gotcha.
And that was with a Warlock. But yeah, it's been great. I agree with Extifer 100% about the lobby leveling with all the new designed areas. They go by too fast. It doesn't even matter if you have rest bar or not. I wanted to do the new Ashen Vale as Horde because I know there's a lot of really cool lore with the Night Elves against the Horde in Ashen Vale. I was only there maybe an hour and then I out-leveled it because I ran, you know, three randoms with the Horde House Guild.
I think it's just unfortunate that happens because it's really just kind of a slap in the face to all those developers that took the time to create the new stuff. And then it's like, okay, well, the players don't care about it because you're not there long enough. There's no perk to staying.
And it sucks because what can they do about it now? Like, if they were to take away experience boosts, everybody would be like, fuck you, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah. With each increasing, you know, if they do a new expansion every 3 years instead of every two, eventually what happens if they push WoW to have level 100? you, if you want to have an alt or just, you know, try a different class and you really want to raid with it, you can't take a character from level 1 to 100 without them hacking the shit out of the experience requirements. So they're kind of in a really sticky situation on how to balance that.
They might need to do something kind of similar to what they did for Death Knights, where it's like, once you get one character through the gamut, then you can start other characters at a certain spot. Like, I don't, it's got to be a lot more complicated than that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where it's like, it forces you to do it once, but then maybe you get some little shortcuts after that.
So. Exactly.
Okay. What else is going on in your world in Azeroth?
My main, she's been doing a lot of PvP battlegrounds, which is nothing new for her, but she's doing it as heals. So I've been doing battlegrounds as a way to learn how to be resto again, because I have this great resto off spec that I just picked up from raiding, and I have so many valor points. I've got like the 2 or 3 piece of tier 11 for heals, and she's not really a healer character. So to get back into the groove of things, I've just been doing battlegrounds as heals, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Cool. All right, anything else?
Nope.
Okay, then I will go to my week in Azeroth.
Didn't we already hear about your week?
No.
Oh.
Why are you such a hater? You're always hating on me in my week.
Well, go on, because I don't want to hear you be black anymore.
All right, stop it. Let's see. I rolled a hunter on the Drendon server, and I think I talked about this before, but I hadn't really played her a whole lot. But I've played her more this week, because as Salacious Pop's been leveling his Warlock, and then Miklatov, who's been on the show before, is leveling like a Warrior, and then Sunshine's got... What the hell does Sunshine have? I forgot. A rogue, right?
Rogue, yeah.
Okay. So we've all been kind of like playing together a little bit and running dungeons here and there on the Drendon server. Like, we maxed out 7 dungeons for the week for the guild and got like a bunch of guild achievements. I mean, we ran Rage Fire, Stockades, Wailing Caverns, you name it. We ran it of the low B dungeons last week, and we were just having fun. And I got to say, Hunter is actually pretty fun, because it really is easy. Like, it really is just kind of click, auto fire, button, 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 button. Like, it's not that hard so far. I mean, again, I'm a lobby, and, you know...
You're still doing double... I mean, obviously, DPS charts do not matter when you're level 18,
it really
obviously.
Doesn't. It doesn't.
But you're still doing, like, twice as much DPS as my Locke and Sunshine's Rogue.
And admit it, that frustrates you to hell.
Well, yeah, I could... It also, well, at least my playing a Warlock doesn't make me stupid.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's the trade. That's what I was going to say, is the trade-off. It's something about playing a Hunter. And I don't mean offense to the Hunters out there, but I just, having played it firsthand, your IQ really does drop like 20 points when you play a Hunter, because like, I find I am doing the dumbest shit in dungeons. And it goes from just misclicking the mob, because I'm so used to targeting with the right mouse button just as a healer and so forth, like... I don't know, like, it never is dangerous before, but now, like, when your main is a ranged weapon, you got to be really careful with that right-clicking shit, because you'll auto-attack things. Mm-hmm. And just bad use of multi-shot and trying to run around mobs so you stop getting, or like, so you can get back in range. And you
stealing threat.
Yeah, and you aggro a whole pack of mobs behind you. Stealing threat. You name it, I've done it all. And I like to consider myself, like, I somewhat know what I'm doing in playing WoW. Like, I'm a pretty good healer. But I'm just, like, I am that guy in the pug that just does something stupid, and you're just like, God, fucking Hunters.
Well, you know, Hunters are, like, really the one class in WoW that... If they're good, you notice it. If they're bad, you notice it. It's like there's no in between. You know what I mean? Like,
I think there is, Extifer, because I like to think I'm both good and bad. I'm doing good DPS, but I'm making bad choices.
And they'll notice that. They'll notice your bad choices over the good DPS. Trust me.
Look at your life. Look at your choices. They're all bad.
But, like, I can be really bad as a rogue and get away with it. Because, really, all it is single-target DPS. If nobody's running an add-on to show DPS, or they're not paying attention to it, you know, and I'm doing really shitty DPS, you know, that's the only way they're going to be able to tell. Mm-hmm. Nothing is going to be glaringly obvious unless I just go up and start attacking another mob, you know. With a hunter, it's different because, I mean, you have so many things that could go wrong that... would be very obvious to the group.
True. I don't know. I'm having so much fun playing a hunter, just because, like, sometimes it's fun to be a little dumb. Does that make sense? I probably sound dumb right now. I don't get. And all we're gonna get all these emails this week. I play a hunter, and I'm extremely offended by your talk. You know what? Deal with it.
Like, you know what? They're probably gonna be doubly offended now that you tried to copy their speech.
All right. What else?
I'm a hunter. Oh!
What else besides a hunter? I've been playing the priest. I'm almost to 73. But, yeah, I've just been trying to level through some of that. And then I've been playing my main, which is my Holy Pally. I mentioned last week, I think, that I did my first Zolomon, finally. I tried to do a Zolgrub this week. Yeah, not pretty. You know what's really not pretty is that I zoned in. They were attempting to do the last boss and had been attempting to do it for about 45 minutes when I finally joined the party. And I shit you not, 10 tries. I sat with that group for 10 tries on the last boss. We couldn't do it. And I don't know, like, I felt like they were kind of blaming me, but I mean, like, you tell me to do something and I'll do it. And, you know, my gears are pretty good. And I like to think I'm an okay healer. So it felt weird to be taking the blame for that when I really felt the tank didn't know how to control mobs and threat and the adds. I felt the tank wasn't picking up the adds effectively in that fight. I don't
know. Yeah, it is the tank's fault.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though. I mean, that's what it is. If they weren't obviously able to get it down, you know, before you joined, who knows how long they had been on the boss, you know, before you joined. And then after you joined, still aren't being able to, you know, that's two healers that you've been through, at least two healers at that point. There has to be a different problem. And it's probably the tank, you know, the tank does need to pick up adds.
So, yeah, I'm still very eye-rolly about Zolgrub because that means that's two bad experiences I've had in there. So, like, it makes me nervous to do troll heroics in general now because I'm like, Zolomon, I'm fine. I'm cool. That place is fine. It doesn't bother me. In fact, it's actually kind of fun. Like, the boss fights there are pretty cool. Zolgrub, fuck off. Like, really. Like, so, you know, when I get that loading screen, I'll just put my head in my hands and sob if I get Zolgrub. But if I get Zolomon, I'm like, we're cool.
Could you take a picture next time that happens? Please.
You want it framed?
Yes.
Above your computer? This is what motivates me.
No, I don't want it framed. I just want to upload it to the Horde House website.
I bet. With your Lady Gaga videos.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Let's see. What else am I weak? I think that's about it. IDK. There wasn't really... Well, we did an Al'Goth kill. That's no big deal now. I'm just kind of waiting to see when 4-2 will hit. Like, I spent 2,200 Valor points, which for somebody that isn't raiding right now outside of Al'Goth, that's a lot of Valor points to be spending. And there's a part of me that's like, you know, when this next patch hits, all that gear is going to be bought from Justice points anyway. I mean, I know our Valor points are getting flushed anyway. They'll get converted to Justice points. But it's like, am I doing all this work for nothing? The satchels, yeah. I find very motivating right now, actually. Like, if I log on and I'm like, how should I kill time today? Should I go level my hunter or my priest, or maybe I should do a random 5-man? If I see that satchels are available for like a random 5-man cataclysm, like non-troll dungeon, I'll do it. Like, just to know that there's that chance that maybe I'll get a cutesy little pet. But healers, maybe you're up 10% of the time, so I really have to catch it, you know?
Yeah, it's usually always tanks.
Oh yeah, always tanks. So I guess that's it for my week in Azeroth. I'll end it there since Extifer, like, you know, doesn't want me to drag it out anymore. So, all right.
Can I ask you a weird sort of tangent question about your week?
Okay.
So you love Uldum, right? You think it's the best zone ever?
Yes.
Okay. And you also do not give a shit about lore and you do not read quest text, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when you were in Silver Pine Forest on your hunter, Forsaken, you got this really long cutscene with Sylvanas. Talking about, oh, I used to be a blood elf and then Arthas came and he sucks sneaking at my pussy and blah blah blah. You were miserable because of the lore, but it was also a cutscene and you like Uldum. I didn't get it.
No, actually, I really enjoyed Silver Pine Forest. I think the undead surprisingly got the best treatment out of everybody in Cataclysm, which you would think. I seriously think the undead have a better quest line than the Worgens do, and probably the goblins. I think the undead have a great, like, if you haven't rolled an undead in Cataclysm, you need to go see the storylines. I actually think it's pretty rad. You know, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of like running around and stuff, and some of the quests got a little bit, but actually some of the lore stuff and the fact that they do have the cutscenes and everything is actually pretty cool. I think you misunderstood me. I was misinterpreted.
Okay.
You judged me wrong.
Whatever.
Well, you know, actually, I'll tell you what it was. What was frustrating is that while that cutscene was going on, I was trying to talk to Sunshine in texts. In real ID, and this bugs me about the cutscenes in Oldham too.
Your UI disappears.
Yeah, your UI disappears, and you can't talk to people. So that part does bug me. So I think I probably was frustrated because I was trying to, you know, and then suddenly, like, if you don't answer somebody for a couple minutes because you're stuck in a cutscene, people are like, "What? Do you hate me? Or did I say the wrong thing? Or what? You know, like it's the same thing on AIM or any chat program. It's like." Well, you know, if you don't respond,
like, where are you?
If you don't respond to somebody for 3 minutes, I'll just get a frown. So that's the only thing that bugs me. But that scene where Grosh comes out and goes, "Watch your clever mouth, bitch." That scene was amazing. Oh, spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler alert. I do think that Silver Pine's probably the best questing place in the game.
Yes.
Right now, so.
Yeah, so if you haven't rolled an undead, do it. And you can do it on our Drendon server and join our guild, the best little horde house. And I'm telling you, even though we have a ton of hunters and death knights in the guild already, try an undead hunter and watch if your IQ drops like mine did.
Especially if you like PvP because you get a cunning pet as your level one.
You do, you get the spider and it's awesome.
Yeah, I love the cunting pets.
Except he doesn't do the web until I think like level 20. I don't know. I've been using a wolf because wolf gives you the crit strike rating, but I haven't been doing PvP either. So I've been dungeoning. Anyhow, no one cur. Let's talk about the news. People cur about the news. Let's get into tonight's news. Extifer with the news. What's going on in WoW, Extifer?
Well, thanks for asking, Rob. There's a few things going on. One of the things is that this should be obvious to everybody, the winged lion, hippie lion, guardian is finally unleashed upon the world of Azeroth. And so if you just pick up your head and look, you'll see one, I guarantee.
I find this to be interesting, though. I'm not seeing nearly as many of them as I did sparkle ponies.
You know, I don't either, and I think maybe a lot of people learn their lesson with the sparkle pony. I think it's kind of ideal to think that way.
And what lesson is that, Extifer?
Is that when there's mounts for sale, people buy them, and a lot of people buy them, and suddenly you're seeing the same mount everywhere, and it's annoying. The problem with, and I think a lot of people might have thought, okay, well, $25 was kind of excessive for, you know, an in-game mount, you know, and that's what I feel. That's why I don't buy them. The other reason that I think not as many people have bought the winged lion is that it's just kind of ugly. And I think the aesthetic value has a lot to do with, you know, whether we really want something or not.
I just think $25 is too fucking much for a stupid pet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's the baseline reason why I wouldn't buy it. But also, if I was going to buy a mount, it would have to actually look good. And this doesn't look good. I mean, sure, it's shiny. But you can't just make something, you know, give a lion wings and make it all shiny and expect it to look good. You know, it doesn't actually look good. And I think maybe a lot of people see that as well. But yeah, that's another thing. I have actually seen a lot of people on them, but you're right. I mean, when the sparkle pony was introduced, I mean, everybody had one.
To me, go ahead. Slash about.
I'll say Dalaran. Within 24 hours of the Sparkle Pony going live, I felt like at times it was every person but me was on one of those fucking things.
Me too.
And I was like, this, okay, everyone has the same cookie cutter shitty mount now. While I have noticed the new Afro Sphinx around, like I see obviously the people have had it. In Stormwind, it's not like that. You will still see, you know, the rare mounts that they got from raiding, or, you know, people are still, even if they have it, they're not bringing it out all the time, and it's a lot more refreshing.
Yeah, it is.
The other thing is, I don't know if this reference will be lost on people or what, or how many people follow this game, but for those that play the Elder Scrolls series, you might remember when Oblivion first came out, the fourth game on 360, they tried to sell us an expansion like horse armor, which I think it was like, I don't know, it was like $5 or something to download what was literally just special armor for your horse. It didn't do any stats, didn't do anything. It just made your horse look pretty. And the makers of that game got razzed to hell and back for that expansion. Horse armor jokes were like the running gag for like a year in explaining download content. And it's funny to me that in WoW, because I guess there's that multiplayer experience and you get to show off that armor, so to speak, like it's forgiven. It's really fascinating to me.
Yeah. But I mean, and you know, but there are a lot of people that don't forgive it. You know, there are people that sternly are against the microtransaction mounts. Well, I'm not necessarily against microtransactions as long as they are you know, cheap. This is $25, right? And I'm sorry, but if you're like me, you don't have $25 to just throw out for an in-game mount.
Yeah, you know, but I think also, and I've heard of this happening where some people are like making fun of others or judging other people because they have bought the mount. Like, that's going too far. Like, it's your money. Buy whatever the fuck you want. Like,
oh, yeah,
there's
things
I mean, buy that people probably would say, like, really? You spend all your money on that? Like, but, you know, an extifer buys all that pornography. He has that huge pornography addiction.
Right.
To gay pornography and just, you know.
Well, gay, straight.
You know, if you knew how much money he spent on it, you'd be like, oh, my God. But, yeah, you know, like, don't judge him for loving gay pornography.
And gay and transsexual. But,
yes, and midget gay transsexual pornography.
Yeah, gay. Well, wait. Midget. Pregnant midget gay transsexual straight pornography is what I like.
Okay, now I'm judging you a little bit. But anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
It comes with the territory.
But yeah, I wouldn't go that far with it. But yeah, for me, it's just if I spent $25 on the mount, that would be telling Blizzard that I'm willing to do this more often in the future. And that's not the message I want to send. I already feel like I made the mistake when I bought that $10 panda. Now, thankfully, half of that went to charity. And then I did, in all fairness, buy another $10 mount, but that was because 100% of it went to charity. And to be honest, if they were charging $25 for the mount and it was going to a damn good cause, I probably would have considered it. I damn
yeah
sure
yeah
it.
You know, yeah, I agree with that too. But you know, the fact of the matter is we do vote with our money, so
that's a good way.
If you don't agree with it, then you don't have to get it. But if somebody does get it, you know, that's like you said, it's their money. They choose to, you know, spend it on whatever they want. I'm not about to, you know, harp on somebody for buying the mount. You know, I just know that I won't do it. I think it's ugly, in my personal opinion, and I believe
well,
that
$25 you have an ugly heart.
Yeah, well, you know. Whatever. We all can't be winners like you.
All right.
So, a few things that have been data mining news in the World of Warcraft. Have been there's a new Diablo themed Murloc that was data mined, and I forget what it's called, but I will pull that up in just a moment. Mercablo, which is ridiculous is what I was gonna say there.
Ridiculo.
Yeah, it was ridicularded. It's unclear whether this is going to be a pet that is going to be like maybe an anniversary pet, or if it's going to be a BlizzCon pet, or if it's going to coincide with the release of Diablo 3. If it is the latter, then, you know, maybe expect a release date for Diablo 3 to come down the line soon, maybe. Who knows? Maybe Blizzard will magically show up at E3 and announce something. That probably won't happen.
But don't hold your breath when they can charge you $125
and
then $50 on DirecTV or whatever to come to their press conference that everybody else does for free. It's
exactly.
It is astounding what Blizzard gets away with sometimes. Like, it is
exactly
like, for real.
You thought the $25 mount was a big deal. I mean, they really do have an interesting way of making money, and people spend it on it. So,
You know what? Blizzard doesn't make bad games.
No, they don't.
Activision has made some real stinkers, but Blizzard does not make bad games. And so I think to some extent they've kind of earned it, but
right. And they're a successful company. So, I mean, they in some capacity, they do know what they're doing, and you know, people will, as long as people will be willing to spend their money on things like that, they're going to continue to do things like that. So
that being said, though, Valve should be able to hold their own convention too. Like when they finally do decide to announce Half-Life, because I believe that Valve is one of the few other companies that also does not make bad games. Mm-hmm. It's just like Pixar does not make bad movies. Have you ever seen a bad? I mean, you might have seen a Pixar movie where like that was okay. It wasn't as good as the last one, but you've never walked out of you've never walked out of a Pixar movie going, God, that sucked.
Yeah,
most of the time you're like,
something good about it.
Like Up, it's like, oh God, I cried so hard. It was so good. You know, or maybe that was just me.
But it reminds this Mercablo does remind me a little bit about the release of StarCraft II, where the pet was data mined, and then they did announce the release date that was the middle of July, I believe, last year. They announced the release date to StarCraft II relatively soon before it was released. So, you know, who knows when Diablo 3 is actually going to be announced to be released. But I don't know. In my opinion, I think this pet is probably in association with the release of Diablo 3. Obviously, when they data mine something, it could be months or maybe even a year before we actually see it in game released. So, so we'll see about that.
To be fair, I'm all about Diablo and I'll buy the collector's edition. So I'll have this pet anyway. It could be the BlizzCon pet too, though. I don't know.
It could be. I plan on definitely getting Diablo 3. I played it at BlizzCon and I liked it enough to give it a try. Liked it more than obviously StarCraft 2. Didn't buy that, but
I loved Diablo 2 10 years ago, and you know, in some ways, honestly, and when I first played World of Warcraft, I remember telling people this. I told people, I'm like, it's more World of Diablo than it is World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. Like just the way it plays feels a lot more Diablo-esque, but it's just me.
Right. Yeah, so that's about the Diablo theme Murloc. But the next thing on the list is that, and this is really exciting news. There are new roar sounds being made available for all races coming in patch 4.2. So everybody rejoice! You can have a new roar sound. They still haven't updated the pixel the heavily pixeled human form. But they did update their roar noise, so congrats.
So your character can actually go roar.
Yeah.
Or if you're a blood elf, roar.
From what I understand, they took out, or they at least they didn't have a roar noise for goblins or worgen, or they did have it for the worgen, then they took it out or something. There was something weird about it. But anyways, they've since put it back in or introduced it. And with that, they also introduced new sounds for the rest of the races.
So. I like slash map. Like
personally,
were a role player, I would have to slash map a lot because that's what I do when I play WoW. I'm always looking at the map. You don't slash roar a lot?
I don't.
Oh, your character's
we
not
have
played.
A DK in our main raiding group, and her thing was that she would always slash roar at every boss before we pulled. It was like just this thing that she did, and when they patched it out, she was like, that was my thing. That's my trait. And I don't make an audio noise anymore. So she still does the emote, but then she just, you know, will bitch about it and vent.
Did a single tear fall from her face when she realized that Blizzard attacked her?
But so I'm glad for her because she's, you know, fun to raid with. I'm glad that she's getting her roar back because that really upset her.
Nice. Well, finally, somebody's happy in the world of Azeroth.
You know who else might be really happy about this? Ferrari.
Whoa.
I'll be that here all week. Funny. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
You know, I guess needed for a lot of those RPers and people that, you know, have become used to their roar noise, I guess. But the other thing on the news that I wanted to talk about was something I noticed today. And that was something else that was data mined that I'm aware of, is that they might be coming out with a new 64-bit client for World of Warcraft. There were some lines, the LUA lines, code lines or whatever, that were data mined that show Win64 in them. And so this could mean good news to people like me that have 64-bit Windows 7.
Me too. I switched to DirectX 11 too. I didn't even realize that was in the interface now. Like, I missed that in the last patch somehow. But yeah, you can switch. If you go into your graphics settings and your card can do DirectX 11. I didn't notice a performance change at all, but I've heard some people got an amazing improvement out of it.
Oh, I definitely get an amazing... I won't switch back to normal because my frame rate goes up. But with this announcement, you could see even better performance increase, especially if you have more than 3 gigs of RAM. So those with 64-bit systems, they'll be able to utilize that hopefully in the near future. But otherwise, that is what I have for the news. Other than that, there's a bunch of spell changes and stuff that I think are boring.
You think 4.2s anytime soon? I mean, I hate to keep doing the speculative question because I'm sure everybody's like, when's 4.2? When's 4.2? But I don't know. I kind of feel like we ought to be getting really close, right?
Well, they did test Ragnaros, from what I understand, and there was a guild that defeated him on the PTR. And I'm trying to look for it right now. Yeah, there's a guild named Synced that was able to, and they're, of course, EU guild, European. They're always the ones that down the content first, right? They were able to down the 25-man version of the encounter, Ragnaros encounter. So maybe that means, you know, aside from tuning issues, they'll be able to release 4.2 relatively quick from now. But who knows?
We'll see.
I'm not going to say anything because obviously I'm wrong every single time I predict it.
I don't think it'll be this coming week because I think E3 week is just a bad week to do something like that. I don't know. I mean, you know, who knows? Because everybody else is going to be playing it all during E3 week. But I think in maybe 2 or 3 weeks is not unreasonable.
I don't think it's unreasonable, no.
So
do you know why European Raiders are the best in the world?
Why?
Free subsidized healthcare.
Where did you hear that joke?
No, I'm political trolling right now. I'm sorry.
All right, let's move on.
I just figured because they don't have anything else to do with their time. We have McDonald's.
I don't have anything else to do with my time.
Oh, wait, they have McDonald's over there, too.
Extrovert, you're doing a podcast about World of Warcraft. You should not be judging others
on
what they're doing.
I'd much rather be doing something else right now, like whacking it or, you know, whacking it.
They just eat cheese and drink wine and kill Sinestra. That's all you do in Norway. That's all they're,
All right.
And by whacking it, I mean cutting my lawn. Was I clear on that?
You don't have a lawn. You live in an apartment. All right.
My sister's lawn. That's what
His pubic lawn.
Can we move on to the topic of the week? Every week here at the Best Little Horde House, we have a topic, and we invite you guys to respond. But respond quick, because it's going to be a dated topic quick. Twitter.com/HordeHouse or via email, HordeHousePodcast. That's all one word, HordeHousePodcast@gmail.com. Our topic of the week, it's about E3, since there's a lot of E3 stuff going on this week. Now, Blizzard skips E3, as you know, but if they were to announce something, or Activision perhaps announcing something on their behalf, what do you think they would announce? That's this week's topic of the week. If they were to announce something this year, what do you think they would announce? And that could be via Activision. Extifer, this is going to be complete fan wake, but that's okay, because Extifer apparently wants to whack it. So Extifer, what do you think they would announce?
Diablo 3 release date. I think if anything they would be announcing at this point of the year, that's what they would announce.
Diablo 3 release date. Okie dokie. That's pretty straightforward. You don't think they'll wait till BlizzCon?
Well, I'm pretty sure that they would wait till BlizzCon, but if they were making an E3 appearance, I think of all the news they could share, aside from maybe unveiling their next MMO, which I'm sure they would also reserve that for BlizzCon. So really, of all the news, that seems like the most obvious to me.
Okay.
Is the release date for Diablo.
You got it. What about you, Slashes Pop?
Can I provide a troll answer here?
Of course. We love troll answers.
All right. So they're finally going to come out with minigame integration. because I know a lot of people want mini games like more Bejeweled and Peggle in WoW.
Mm-hmm.
So they're finally going to have a mini game that you can play on your phone to actually farm fish for your raiding feasts, but it's a merger with Farmville to do it.
So
it's Zynga, Blizzard, Activision.
No, even better. Fishing. God, what's the company that makes that total WoW ripoff on the phone? And like this company does nothing but make ripoff games. Gameloft. And it's the Order and Chaos Online. A partnership with Gameloft. That would be a real trolly answer.
You know what? I don't want Farmville and WoW to get together. Then I'll have like 50 million notification notes in my mail every single time I log into WoW. So-and-so just sent you a gift. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, shut the hell up. I don't care anymore. I'm not going to play your game anymore. Screw off.
So do you have a real answer, Salacious Pop?
Well, aside from the Diablo 3 release date, what the new expansion is going to be, whether it's the Emerald Dream or whatever else, what the new level cap is.
Okay.
So, new expansion.
Maybe they'll say, oh, it's 10 levels of content again to 95, although that would be a little weird, so I kind of doubt that.
Burning Crusade, even though I didn't play when that was new content, had so much stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want an expansion that...
So did Wrath, really?
Big.
I loved Wrath.
Burning Crusade had, like, what, 15 separate reps that you could grind with all the little, you know, honor hold and the shitar.
Yeah, it was a bitch to grind them all, but yeah, because you didn't have tabards back then,
and the two different sets of mounts. So anyway, I just thought that Wrath and especially now Cataclysm had a lot less, so I want as much content as Burning Crusade provided.
Okay,
next expansion.
My answer, I really don't think, and in my all honesty, I mean, I realize we're supposed to be hypothetical, but my truth says I don't think anything about Warcraft is coming out at E3, because I think with the Activision-Bungie partnership, I think that Bungie's got something. I don't think it's an MMO per se, but I'm envisioning something more along the lines of MAG, where it's going to be like a massive multiplayer, but not necessarily like a RPG, so to speak. I'm seeing something more like MAG. But anyway, I don't think they're going to announce something to kind of compete with WoW. But I do think the Diablo 3 thing is definitely reality. I would go so far as to say I think there's some truth to the Diablo 3 possibly being on consoles. I think it's one of the things that Activision would want to do. After having played the Dungeon Siege 3 demo, I think it's doable. I think Diablo 3 coming to consoles would be the announcement. I don't think it'll come out at the same time as PC either. There'll be at least a year gap, but I think it's very feasible they're going to come out, and this will be the time for them to make the announcement, Activision making it on their behalf, because Activision will be the one that publishes it on the consoles to say Diablo 3 is on consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see the feedback if that happens. But we'll see. Again, hypothetical, fan wank, just... But there's been that whole, you know, there's been the job postings that have led people to speculate, but I'm not even going off that. I'm just saying, you know what? I think it's a lot more possible than people give it credit. I think we've seen, especially on the PlayStation 3, the PC and console world slowly start to come together with the Steam integration and Portal 2, which was done really well. So, yeah. But as far as WoW, I think at most you would get maybe like information about when the 4.2 patch is dropping. Or I think it would be something very, very little. Or like, what is planned for patch 4.3? It's going to be something very little. Maybe a peek in a new five-man dungeon or something. So, well, what do you guys think? Twitter.com/Hordehouse or HordehousePodcast@gmail.com. But no fair if you send in your answers, you know, after it's already announced. So, all right. Let's move on and get into some tweets and emails. What do you want to do first? You want to do tweets or emails?
Emails.
All right, let's do emails. Let's start with this email from RelicDK. Hi, guys. I saw a thread somewhere today about an anti-ninja loot system proposal. Basically, they said that, for example, only the tank in a group should be able to roll need on a tanking item, even if other members of the party could wear it. While this idea has flaws, what about a holy paladin needing on some tank plate to help gear up for off-spec? I do think that an anti-ninja loot system needs to be considered, with the idea that being a ninja is generally considered to be someone who drops group immediately after winning a need roll on an item. My idea is that if a player drops group right after winning a need roll on an item, that item is removed from their inventory and offered again for rolling to the remaining party members, or given to whoever the runner-up was. What do you think? I'll start. I actually think it's okay to drop group after winning a need roll. If, and I know that might be like a controversial opinion or whatever, but I know like back in the day when we would raid Burning Crusade dungeons, like if the drop we needed was from the second boss, we'd go to the second boss and then stop. Sometimes we wouldn't bother to finish the whole dungeon, especially if it was one where like the later bosses were really irritating. So I kind of think it's okay as long as it was a drop you really needed. But if it's a true ninja-ing where you're needing and then dropping, then yeah. But I don't know if it's very easy to do something about that, as you say. I don't know. What do you think, Extra?
No, I don't think they should implement something like that. Where, because like you just said, if you're farming for something, I just want to see if it drops, you know, and I don't have a lot of patience to sit for the whole, or maybe I don't have enough time to go through the rest of the dungeon. I don't know, like, and I realize that that's not anybody else's problem but my own, but, you know, it's ridiculous to punish somebody. I did help to get whatever kill we got, so why punish me if I want to leave? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just I think the way they've got it now, honestly, kind of works. Like, I haven't really, I don't know about you guys, but I haven't really been in any parties where people have ninja'd stuff.
Like, I haven't either.
I like the fact that you can't roll need on a freaking cloth item if you're a paladin. Like, it kind of works, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it does work. I mean, it definitely works.
The only class that still has a problem with this is tanks having DPS or heal. Plate wearers roll need on tank gear and winning it when there's a tank that actually needs it as an upgrade. They're the only class that still has this problem.
Yeah, they do need to figure out a way. Like, I don't know, maybe they're going to have to enter in it might have to be need off spec greed. Like, they might have to just incorporate a third roll into it, which is going to be complicated, but that might be the only way they can do it, unfortunately.
They can have the loot system look at the itemization of a gear or of a piece, and if it has parry or dodge on it, only the tank gets the prompt, and if he closes X or rolls greed on it, then the other plate wearers get to see it. So you can't roll on it if it has those stats on it until the tank has, you know, pushed it away. Maybe that'd be a way to get around it. But yeah, I think tanks have the most legit case for plate wears needing on their shit when they're tanking and they can't get what they need. But everyone else is fine.
And I think that if there was like any kind of etiquette rule, I think that you should always defer to the tank. If the tank needs it, then don't roll on it. If you are unsure about that, ask, you know. You know, most people are courteous, believe it or not, to the point where they'll either say they'll let you roll on it, you know, regardless. But there are those that do want to roll need on it. And if you do see them roll need, you know, don't roll need on it. I mean, let the tank have their crap.
All right. Let's get to another email from Holly D. Hi, all. I was listening to Horde House, and you were talking about the 5% drop in subscribers. I believe the numbers are from the beginning of March. Anyway, how do you think the new premium services will affect things? I think they will lose a small amount of people because of the new premium service to queue with your friends, but I also think they will make a lot of cash from it. For the 5%, I very much doubt Blizzard is worried. Assuming that all of those people were paying $15 a month, that would be like $9 million they lose a month. However, they would still be making, again, assuming that they are getting paid $15 a month for the 11.4 million, like $171 million a month. What do you think would get those people to come back? I would say free to play. I know I would come back if it went free to play because I feel you can't complain about a game if you're not paying for it. However, I doubt free to play would happen until they say a huge drop, like if they had 1 million subscribers total. P.S. Extifer, you asked why people would listen to the show if they don't play WoW still. Truth be told, I missed your penis jokes and Rob's giggles. I'm not even joking. They crack me up and make my workday go faster. I've been strangling giggles for like 10 minutes because of the Extifer dungeon jokes, which I don't even remember what those were now, but thank you anyway. Holly D.
My pleasure.
penis jokes to your pleasure.
Sorry, I listened to the last part because I only listen when I hear my name.
Oh, sorry. Just talking about the whole, like, kind of working out the numbers. She's saying that, okay, well, you lose 5%, which, yeah, might equate to like $9 million. But if you incorporate these premium services and people actually pay for them, they might make the money back.
Mm-hmm.
So is it really such a change for them? And then the real question out of this email, I think, too, is what do you think would get the 5% to come back? And Holly D suggests free to play. And Holly, I got to say, you're absolutely right where that's not going to happen anytime soon. As long if Blizzard can still get people to pay $25 for a friggin' mount, they're going to do it. It's not going to happen until they see a huge subscriber drop. You're absolutely right. And I don't think that is ultimately going to happen until Blizzard's next MMO.
Like I said, we vote with our money.
Absolutely.
And as long as we keep paying, there's no reason why they would go free to play. They're one of the only MMOs that have, you know, thrived on this business model. And I think that, you know, what's not broken, you know, what's broken, you fix it. What's not broken, you know, no reason to try and fix it. So I don't know.
All right. Salacious Pop, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that these new premium perks are a good stop loss they're not going to be able to subsidize the entire 5% they've lost with stuff like this, but it's a way of, you know, taking your thumb and plugging it over that little hole in the dam. There are some people where WoW is their game, so they're going to have every mount. They're going to find a way to afford the extra $2 or $3 a month, and that's what Blizzard wants, to try to get just squeeze that lemon a little bit harder from the ride or die people that have been with it since the beginning. But otherwise, I think going free to play would even drive away more of the serious raiders. Like, that's for a lot of people, when it goes free to play, that's when the game jumps the shark. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a very dangerous proposition. But for the, like, I can't get the premium subscription because I don't have a smartphone. Like, I don't care about the auctions and
what about grouping with people from Real ID?
Just roll a new level 1 alt, you'll be level 25 in like a day and a half. It's not that serious.
All right, one more email for you guys, and this is from Sunshine, who's been on the show before. Hey, Horde House. As you know, I lied. I have two emails, sorry. Hey, Horde House. As you know, I am the proud owner of a brand new winged Afro Lion. I was talking to people in Guild Chat the other night about how it doesn't seem to be all over the place like the Sparkle Pony was the day it came out. I've seen maybe 5 or 6 of the new mounts total so far. It really seems to be a drastic difference in the Sparkle Pony launch. Remember how you couldn't go anywhere in Dalaran without seeing 10 million Sparkle Ponies run around and people forming Sparkle Pony parades? Did that really happen? Sparkle Pony parades?
Probably did.
What in gay hell is this? All right. I was curious if you had any speculation about what's going on. Are people dumb and think the Afro Lion is only a flying mount because it has wings, so it's not worth the money? I mean, the Sparkle Pony had wings too, but maybe ponies are more traditionally associated with being land mounts. Or maybe the 600,000 subscribers who quit WoW, well, that's 600,001 now, if you know what I mean, LOL, bitchy inside joke, were all the people who were having Sparkle Pony parades, and since they weren't there to buy the Afro Lion, they aren't flying around Stormwind Orgrimmar. But think about the fact that the people who bought it when it launched also had to wait in a queue of 10,000 to buy it, and that was only for U.S. servers. What do you think? Why don't we have a pride of Afro Lions swarming the skies? Love you, BBs. Sunshine.
I already said it, but it's ugly. Why? It's, I don't know. It's ugly.
I think somebody had called it earlier in the show. I think it's buyer's remorse the first time around. I think a lot of people bought it the first time and then said, not you, Sunshine, of course, but I think there were a lot of other people that said, God, I really spent $25 on that? Like,
And everyone has one. Everyone has it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And Blizzard.
And also, it's ugly.
And you can't customize it at all. It's just, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Again, not knocking you, Sunshine. If a winged Afro Lion makes you happy, then go have that Afro Lion parade by yourself.
Yeah, by all means. I mean, if an ugly ass Afro Lion makes you happy, you know, feel proud of yourself.
I think the style of it and the model they used is more appealing to my taste than the Sparkle Pony, but I don't like how two-tone it is. It's got the little glowing white and then the slate blue. If they added more details or more coloring to it, I would consider getting one. I think it looks badass. So
I think that if it was, if it had different colors, possibly it would be better looking. But I think it's mostly the colors that make me feel like it's butt ugly.
It's ugly, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the way that I don't like the glow effect with the contrast to its skin tone and all that stuff, or the fur or whatever. I just don't like it. I think it's just, ugh.
All right, you done?
No, I want to go on.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Getting to our last email tonight from Flacco Jones, and it's a response to our topic of the week, which you may or may not remember was, what can they improve about the website? I think the website has been improved almost as much as it can be. I do agree with Extifer about adding guild chat to the website. The only other feature I would add would be to combine the Euro/US English language forums. Some of the Euro blue posters are a lot more customer friendly, so it would be nice to have their input on general issues where topics aren't going to vary because of location. Flacco Jones. You know, I can definitely agree with that. There needs to be much less regional segregation. Like, are we going to get freaked out because they use more U's and less Z's in the Euro forums? Like, we're just suddenly not going to understand? Like, I don't get it.
I know. We both speak English, you know, and granted, there are different, you know, forms of English.
You know, but when I played Final Fantasy XI, we had to play that game with Japanese people, and it was just kind of like, figure it out. Like, they don't even use the same letters. But, of course, that game had auto-translate. So, I don't know. Like, would World of Warcraft have auto-translate? Like, you know, you type elevator and, you know, tab to auto-translate and lift for the folks overseas. I don't know. All right, let's get to the tweets this week. Going to the tweets, tweet. Gosh, when was last week's show? There's a lot of tweets from last week. Let's see.
Yeah, just pick the 5 best ones.
No, I got more than that. All right. Going to RZBG tweets us. Horde has me thinking about it. As I started in Wrath, I don't think I've ever opened my key ring or been aware when I got new keys. Talking about the loss of the key ring we talked about on the show last week. You know, you're not the only one. Somebody had said to me the other day, Rob, I think they already got rid of the key rings. And I'm like, no, I think you just really don't use it that much that you just don't even like know it's there or it's gone. Like, my key ring's still there. But I think that's part of the reason they're getting rid of it is it's probably taking up database space. They don't really need it to be taken up. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So, let's see. Going on to some, I'm reading through the live blog tweets from Peter Uno and his response to the topic of the week. The beginner's guide on how to play is great, but I think videos work better than text in this regard. I did once have an idea of making a series of beginner's videos in the style of BBC Webwise. You know, it's interesting because I think in some ways Blizzard doesn't have to do anything because there's so many people out there that make YouTube videos, especially with boss strategies and everything. But, you know, Blizzard wouldn't want to make their own boss strategy videos because that would be a little weird. But there's so much YouTube content out there already. I mean, granted, not all of it is very good, but I don't know. Let's see. Essex tweeted us saying, listening to the show today and, in fact, had a date last night where it turns out we were both WoW players. He even went to BlizzCon. Of course, now my lesbian-like tendencies want to drive up to Boston and get hitched. We were talking last week about will you admit to people that you go out on a date with that you play WoW? Let's see. Going to some other tweets here. See, the reason why we have a lot of tweets is because Sunshine and Spike Point got in a argument and kept tweeting us on all the CCing us on all the tweets. So I have to scroll past all their fighting. Let's see. Lanaya tweeted us saying, I kind of want the lion. I cheated. I put it on my birthday list. Do parents still buy things from your list if you're 23? Ha ha ha. I don't know. Do you still get birthday list gifts in your
20s? I don't know. If they looked at it, they might be like, that's too ugly to give to you.
I've pretty much got the same gift ever since I was 23, and that's a $50 gift card to Macy's. Like, I can always, or Kohl's, depending on if it's Christmas or my birthday. Like,
right now, I get gifts from my parents, but they're all from, like, QVC.
Really?
Like, yeah, they're all like, you know, here's a new digital album that you'll never use. But we got such a great deal off of QVC from it, so
nice. Here. Flacco Jones tweeted us with a screenshot because he wanted to point out that the quest that actually dinged the Horde House Guild, Best Little Horde House, which is in the Guild Finder if you're looking to join, the quest that actually dinged the Guild to level 2 was the quest Outland Sucks. There really is a quest in the game called Outland Sucks. I think that might be the one where you dig through poop. I'm not sure. But Outland Sucks was the quest that dinged us, and I felt that was very appropriate. So I'm sharing that with you all.
Flacco felt that way too. There's a follow-up quest to it that's the poop one. It's called Shiz Happens.
Oh, okay.
I've done it several times.
I see. You big fan of Shiz? All right. Flacco Jones tweets us, when you guys level a new character, which zones do you look forward to the most, and which ones do you avoid at all costs? Any answers for this? Salacious Pop, haven't heard from you in a bit. Is there a zone that you look for? Well, I guess you haven't been leveling a whole lot of characters, but let's say on your newest ones, your Warlock, is there a zone that you look forward to and one that you plan to avoid?
Well, on the Warlock, he's leveling so fast he won't have any real time to spend in either zone. But bringing up the whole Outlands thing, I have a lot of fun in Outlands, but I hate digging 58 or 59 and having to go to Hellfire Peninsula, because that's always where you end up. You have to start there.
Right.
And I am so sick of that zone. And then I get to Zanger Marsh and I'm like, oh, mushrooms and it's pretty. I like Zanger Marsh, but Hellfire, no, that place sucks.
Extrovert?
Awful zone.
I've never been much of a fan of Ashen Vale before or after Cataclysm. So that zone, but if I really had to pick the one that really sticks out in my mind that I just absolutely hate, I think it would be Zoldrak. I just don't like it. I don't like the look of it. I just, eh.
Everybody hates Blade's Edge, the zone in Outlands. Like, no one goes there. They'll go to Terrakar, yeah. Nagrand, and then they'll go to Shadow Moon or Netherstorm, but I don't know anyone aside from me that has bothered to do all of the quests in Blade's Edge Mountains.
It's ugly, and you have to go all over the place.
It's got the poop, the craggy poop that sticks out everywhere. Yeah.
So, I would say, honestly, my answers, although, you know, Grizzly Hills and Dragonblight, I think, are both still good answers for me. I would say, otherwise, the zone I look forward to the most, Uldum, hello. The one I avoid at all costs, Desolus. Even now in Cataclysm, it's still terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, Desolus, avoid it at all costs.
For the one that I look forward to the most, it'd be a toss-up between, and I really did love Thousand Needles after they revamped it, so I gotta say I love that one, even though a lot of people still hate it for some reason. I love it. And then I also, again, really love Storm Peaks. It's been my favorite. I think that just the atmosphere is just great and epic, and the music is great, and the lore is great. So yeah,
my favorite zone is probably Ghostlands. I think it's the best level 10 to 19 zone in the game.
I'm going to Lanaya for some tweets here. Of all the twists and turns in the plot in Azeroth, which made you scream no at your screen, questline, story, etc.? My answer would be in Red Ridge Mountains, spoiler, when you brought together the A-team and then Blizz killed Kishan off. I still have Kishan's bandana in my bank. Sorry for being too lazy to email, by the way. Haha, my bad. It's okay. Tweets are good. Is there a quest that has made you scream no?
Not really, no, but again, going back to Storm Peaks, the quest chain with Thorim, up to the point where, spoiler alert, he gets captured by Loken, or he gets banished to Ulduar or whatever. Like, that quest is, like, that was one of the few quests in the game that actually I paid attention to the lore and really, really was interested in seeing what happens next. And at that point, I was like, oh my god, I can't wait to find out what happens next, you know? So, but I didn't scream no, but I was just like, ah, no! In my mind, I guess.
Salacious Pop, do you have an answer?
I know there's a famous quest that's no longer in the game where it's on Horde side. I don't know if it's in Durotar or Barons, but you had to find that one guy's dead wife, and that made people really sad because you had to go find her and see that she was dead. And then now in Cataclysm, she has a proper grave that you can visit because mm-hmm. obviously some time has passed. So I know that a lot of people are really touched by that.
Mancrick.
Yeah, that quest.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think since I skip a lot of quest texts and stuff because I'm ADD, I don't really ever get that emotionally invested where I'm screaming, no. But as far as things to get a reaction out of me, like some of the Oldham quests for real, like the guy getting chopped up by the propeller was really funny and I laughed, you know, and the plane quest and some of that, the Katamari quest, like there's just so many like hilarious quests in Oldham that I really loved. But as far as like quests that made me like get a reaction out of me, honestly, and I really start to question sometimes if we will ever have a quest this good again, but the Wrathgate before they eliminated it, like just the cinematic and the raid on the Undercity and just everything of epicness about that quest, like seriously, Blizzard, like in your next expansion you need like three of those and people will be very happy and be happy to do them.
I think a lot of people are with you on that, because whenever they have a dev Q&A, they always seem to ask that, you know, are you guys going to have another Wrath, you know, cinematic or whatever? And their answer is always like, well, we gave you a ton of cinematics in Cataclysm, but they weren't epic like the Wrath one, is what people are trying to get the point that they're trying to get across.
Well, yeah, they're all really like in-game generated. And so, I mean, not that that's a bad thing, but they're just different, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Yeah, and they did have the two cinematics, you know, for the Goblin and the Worgen areas. But then again, those were short, and you know, they were good for the storyline in those specific areas, but they didn't really propel the expansion storyline along. And there wasn't an epic like battle like the Undercity battle, and you know, things like that people really want. So
right,
you know, maybe we'll see that.
And if you go to Undercity in Cataclysm, most of the city guards where you can ask where's the, you know, leatherworking profession, they're Horde orc guards. And the reason why there's a huge orc presence in Undercity is because politically what the Wrathgate did lore-wise for how the Forsaken are treated within the Horde, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That event had that much impact. Seeing, you know, Harrison Jones do some shit in Oldham is not the same thing. So yeah, that's what they really need to get back to.
Right.
Well, that's going
to
do it.
And it's a shame that interrupt. It's a shame that they took it out, too, the Wrathgate cinematic itself.
The cinematic is there where Putris bombs what's his
right
dude. That's still in there, but you just don't get the raid after the raid.
Right,
after.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
And I think a lot of that just had to do with the fact that it started in Orgrimmar with Thrall. And so even though somehow Grosh can still be an Outland and that's okay, they had to take the Wrathgate stuff out, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, that does it for tweets tonight, which means that does it for the show. We're at the end of the show. So just a reminder, guys, there is not going to be this is the show that has to kind of get you through 2 weeks, because there's not going to be a show this coming week because of E3. So, and I'm going to be busy doing some other coverage with Orange Lounge Radio, my other show. And if you want to tune into that, if you're into the other games, the console, check out our feed and more information at orangelaundry.com. We're going to be doing live shows Tuesday and Wednesday night. We have people that are actually at the show. It's going to be crazy. And you can join us live for those Tuesday and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Pacific. But otherwise, we will not be back until Thursday the 16th is the next time we plan to record. So hope you guys enjoy the news out of E3, unless you do nothing but play WoW, in which case there probably won't be anything for you out of E3. But hopefully enjoy the time anyway. So we'll see you in a couple weeks. That does it as far as a programming note goes. So if you want to hang out with us otherwise, come roll a character on Best Little Horde House in Drendon and join us. Or send us more tweets and emails. Hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. All right, let's get to the final thoughts. Salacious Pop, thank you for being here, and most of all, thank you for filling in at literally a moment's notice, because it just worked out that Xfer and I could tape at 2 p.m. on Sunday, so we did it. So thank you again for being here. Do you have a final thought for us?
I'm just a Sindori fool, but Fellstones are so cool, and I'm still in love with Kel'thas, baby.
Wow, sorry, how do I follow that up? I got nothing. My final thought is Diet Cherry 7-Up. It now has antioxidants.
It does?
Mm-hmm. That's what the can says, so it must be true. Exifer, your final thought tonight.
If you want to just like I've said in previous shows, you know, if you want to, you know, find out more about me, you can go to my website. It's at www.sniffmyassole.com, and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I'll say. All right. That does it, guys. Thank you so much for joining us this week and listening to the show and supporting the show and telling your friends and leaving us nice reviews on iTunes and stuff. Shut up. Yawn. We'll see you next time in a week and a half back here with the Best Little Horde House in Azeroth. Bye.